What is going on, and welcome to another edition of Jay Bird Watching. We are part of the StadiumScene.tv network. I am your host. I am back this evening. I am Adam Corsair. Thank you both, Craig and Brendan, for holding it down for me last week. My apologies. I was on the 7-day IL with a strep throat, but I'm 90% recovered, and I'm happy to be back. So thank you. And speaking of, Craig, you are joining me this evening. And of course, we have our friend from the Jays Jam podcast, Mr. Chris Key, filling in for Brendan Pennicott.
Boys.
What's up?
Or how I've been referring to him as our pinch hitter for the evening.
Yeah.
I was no good in a pinch hitter role. I'll be completely honest. If I didn't start the game, you were getting nothing from me. Not even a little bit.
Well, because then you're all relaxed. Yeah.
Well, you start flow of the hanging game. Out on the bench, and I don't know. You're relaxing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you weren't that guy throwing sunflower seeds at anybody, like Teoscar or anybody?
No. I wasn't wasting those things.
There you go.
I was hungry.
Especially if they're flavored. Like, if you had the barbecue flavored or something, those are bomb. Oh, yeah.
I was always partial to the dill pickle and then just plain. I wasn't into all the other stuff.
Yeah.
You know what's underrated for baseball snacks while playing? People like to do sunflower seeds. I get it. You guys ever fuck with corn nuts? Corn nuts are great.
Never honestly really did that in a baseball game.
Corn
nuts, good. Solid.
Solid.
Sound. No, I was always, if I didn't have,
I guess, beer.
Softball a little older and going round out at 36, right? But no, the other things were like, there was always a bag of the big league chew being passed around. The bucket of the baseball bubble gum or something like that.
Double bubble or whatever it was.
Yeah. Those ones that were like the rock hard baseballs that always said, sorry, you're out, not anything else.
Solid, though. All right. Well, hey, we are recording this Wednesday evening. If you are not joining us for our live show and you're listening to this on the podcast feed, we appreciate the listen. We appreciate the download. As of this recording, the Jays are in the midst of a 3-game series against the Baltimore Orioles in Baltimore with a record of 43-40, 9 games behind the first place Red Sox, 5.5 behind the second place Tampa Bay Rays, and 4 games back of a wild card spot. Now, before we get into the meat and peanut butter of the show, I just want to gauge the level of concern that we may or may not have when it comes to this team, because when we're coming off a loss against the Orioles to start a series, my concern-o-meter or concernometer goes up a little bit, just a little bit, but not too much. But I do tend to start thinking negatively about the team a little bit. I'm sure I'm not alone. So, Chris, being our guest, in a general sense, how are you feeling about this team now that we're past the halfway point of the season?
It doesn't sound very reassuring.
Yeah.
No, and obviously, we all have concerns about the bullpen. We all have concerns about the bullpen. The starting rotation is really starting to give me some concerns now, which has been steady Eddie for us throughout the first half. Whether there's reinforcements on the way, like Manoah has been a very pleasant surprise. So that's great. Apart from, though, obviously, Robbie Ray is our Lord and Savior and
it's your boy,
all those wonderful things, right? Like, he's been great, but like Matt's has come straight back down to reality. There's lots of talk surrounding him. Maybe he's the odd man out eventually if and when something happens. Who else? Who am I forgetting? There's one other than obviously Stripling's been great, but like, for how long? Like, we made a joke last night on our show that, like, Ross Stripling is kind of like the Randall Grichuk of the pitching world, that, like, he's going to go on this massive tear and do wonderful things, and everybody's going to get on the hype train with him, and then all of a sudden he's just going to plummet. And when's that going to happen? Like, I feel like every time that he's gone out, even though he's riding this huge hot streak, when is he going to come back to down to earth? Because he isn't Max Scherzer. He isn't Justin Verlander. He isn't Clayton Kershaw. He's just another guy, unfortunately. Granted, he's looked like a really good guy as of the last 6 weeks, but when is that going to regress? And I'm concerned about Ryu.
Yep.
Really concerned about Ryu. Like, really, really, really concerned. And I hope that he can prove me wrong tonight. And he is pitching tonight.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is pitching tonight.
I don't have the game on right now.
And he's gotten off to a nice lead so far because the Blue Jays offense is already freaking apparently going to bat for him.
which is great. And that might be exactly what he needs to get himself right. And maybe he needs that little jump and a little bit of a boost to get himself going. Maybe it's the Danny Jansen effect, which I hate to say because that guy doesn't deserve a 40-man roster spot right now. But maybe that's the ticket to all of this, and maybe we're into a whole Josh Tolley effect again, where we have a star pitcher that needs a personal catcher, which, say what you want about Josh Tolley, like, he did his job, I guess, but he was a waste of a roster spot, essentially.
100%, yeah.
Other than
catching. But you were getting the best out of R.A. Dickey in that situation.
You were, and I will be the first one, and I will die on the mountain that R.A. Dickey was invaluable to this team in his time here, and we in fact won that trade despite what a lot of people will say. We did win that trade because Syndergaard is basically nowhere to be found,
like perpetual IL.
He had one good year, basically, maybe two, but where has he been since? And we had what we had with Ari Dickey, but I'm ranting now and I'm just going off on tangents, so.
All good. No. I feel you.
I'm concerned about the rotation. Let's just say that. I'm concerned with that. Obviously, there's a glaring hole with the bullpen. But I'm really concerned about this rotation right now. I'm not concerned about the offense even a little bit. It'll be there and it'll be fine. Not even a little bit.
Well, just to put that to the air point, there are two outs in the first inning so far. The Blue Jays are already up 3-0 with only one out and two. And Ryder's on second, third. So just saying, you're probably right.
What about you, Craig?
I'm with you guys. The offense has been infallible, period. That's the reason we're at where we're at. But the catch to that whole thing is this has been a tale of two different pitching situations this whole season. First beginning of the season, first half of the first half. So the first quarter of the season, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking the Blue Jays bullpen was carrying this team outside Hyunjin Ryu and Robbie Ray. And there was even some inconsistent outings right off the bat there for Ray because he was really only getting into the fifth inning, right, for those first few starts. So there was a lot of innings that the bullpen ate up. When it was healthy, lights fucking out. Everything was going great. The Blue Jays had one of the best bullpens in baseball for through the first 30-40 games. And then all of a sudden, everybody's gone. Yeah. And now, luckily, in the midst of that whole equation, the starting pitching has picked up to take over some of the slack. But not being able to close out ball games, we realistically could be in the ballpark right now of being in a race with the Red Sox for first place in this division and at least being on par with the Rays if you're talking about games we should have won. So that being said, going forward here, we do have some guys that have joined the team that we're going to talk about here. There's some guys that are really starting to look good, and I think there's some good health guys coming back, too. So we've been hearing that Ryan Brucky's finally taking pitches and starting to do his deal to come back. I guess he's eligible Sunday at the first to come back, even though after they moved him to the 60-day DL to free up some roster spots and stuff.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So there is some things coming in the Blue Jays direction. And obviously, I think the biggest thing we've seen is the Blue Jays management is ready to push some chips into the table. They were talking some pieces here that we might not have needed and whatnot. And we've gotten some pieces back that we really could use right now. So going forward here, I have a little bit more optimism. But watching that game last night against the Orioles, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Yeah. Just like all Blue Jays fans, I think, were. That was an easy win for them. And they just couldn't pull it out.
That was the old song and dance, though, just going back to the old characters that get us into trouble every time. Like, going to Trent Thornton in that spot was detrimental to the rest of the game.
Yeah. I've been consistently losing more and more faith in what Trent Thornton can offer this bullpen over the last 2-3 weeks. And just to say, I was one of his men, like everybody on this show, actually. We were actually toting him up pretty good for actually maybe eating up some of those starting gigs not even a month ago. Mm. So it's amazing how many things change so quickly, but clearly there's something in his delivery all of a sudden that's a problem. and we are going to have to rely on the Anthony Castros and whatnot for a little bit longer until we get the Bruckies and company back. The one thing that's honestly driving me nuts, Johnny Axe was throwing freaking flamethrowers for the Canadian national team. Why the heck is he not playing right now in a Toronto Blue Jays uniform? And he's eating up innings in Buffalo. I figure with all the Russian roulette that we've been playing with our bullpen guys, at least he's a veteran guy that might be able to know how to get people out rather than just relying fully on his stuff. But to that point, his stuff has looked pretty good from what I've been reading, period. So pitching in Rochester this week. Hopefully I can maybe get over there and watch.
Isn't that interesting that 3 weeks ago he was an analyst, good Lord, if I could talk, analyst, and now he's like the savior of the bullpen coming from like the depths of unknown?
And the fact that he's throwing 97, somebody told me. I'm like, wait, we're talking about the same John Axford that played for the Brewers and then was with the Blue Jays for a bit there. You know, same guy? Oh, okay. It's not just somebody else's a clone. and that's really where it's coming from. He's just figured out how to get that momentum going back again, because I don't remember in his first stint with the Blue Jays him throwing 97. I don't know about you two.
I thought
it was like 93.
93. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you found a way to tick it up, that's a nice little bonus piece.
I do have my concerns when it comes to the pitching in general, you know, to wrap a bow on the general concerns here. Offensively, I think I'm with you guys, but I sort of like 2015 and a little bit of 2016. I don't like to rest my laurels on just offense alone. You need good pitching, especially bullpen depth and reliability in order to make a strong playoff push. Now, whether or not the front office sort of builds towards that come the trade deadline, which we're going to get to in a little bit, that's a story to be told on a later date. But as of right now, you know, we're banking on this team in order to make a playoff spot, right? We're talking wild card or division. Doesn't seem like the division's going to be in reach. I just don't see an epic collapse of the Boston Red Sox, despite how much that would just thrill me. I just don't see that happening. And then you have to deal with the Rays ahead of them, too. I think the wild card is the best spot, but you're fighting for teams in those spots. I don't know that the Jays are a 91 team. And I'm kind of thinking that you're going to need to win at least 90 games to get to a wild card spot. Especially with how stacked the AL East is right now, with the front two teams being Boston and the Rays. The Rays are going to get, one of those two teams are going to get a wild card spot. So you're competing against the likes of, I guess, Seattle now, Oakland, Houston. You have competition.
I think is the big one we need to get over.
Yeah, you know, you have competition. So can they win 47 more games? I don't know. I don't know. I don't think that currently as constructed that this is a playoff caliber team as currently constructed. Can they make additions? Can they make tweaks here and there to make them more competitive and more of a reliable playoff contending team? I'm sure they can. But, you know, if we're looking for echoes from 2020 to sort of bleed into 2021 and we're just assuming that this is a playoff team, I think that's fool's gold. The offense is great, but we're going to need a little bit more in terms of reinforcement. So that being said, let's just jump right in. There was another trade that we get to discuss. Rowdy Tellez has been traded to the Milwaukee Brewers in exchange for reliever Trevor Richards and minor league starter Bowden Francis. Now, Craig, let's start with you. How do you feel? How do you feel about Rowdy being traded away? And do you consider Richards to be an immediate upgrade for the pen?
All right. First off, Rowdy, I love him. Don't get me wrong. But if we were going to trade somebody and hope to get a decent return back, there's still a lot of upside in Rowdy Tellez's game, especially for a team that is lacking any kind of offense at the first base position like the Milwaukee Brewers. This is a team that was hoping to get, a resurgence of Daniel Vogelbach.
Yep.
And I think that's hilarious because I use the word resurgence because that implies he was good to begin with.
Yeah.
I think right now they have two guys that they're hoping one of them is actually going to reach their potential in that whole equation. Because right now I would say that both of those guys are on par with ceiling, period.
Yeah,
but I think Rowdy Tellez has a better chance of getting to that ceiling for the Milwaukee Brewers.
especially in that ballpark.
Oh, I think he's going to honestly come out and he's going to look like Travis Shaw did a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I honestly wouldn't be shocked by that at all. And in the midst of that equation, though, we get a guy that is going to be a decent person in our bullpen. He's not going to make a giant splash, but he's that guy that can be in front of Simber. We were talking about last week while you were unfortunately on the IL, Adam, where he really fits in. And right now, he unfortunately is basically a setup guy.
Yeah.
Especially with how the fact that, you know, DeLeese has not come back to form yet, obviously, from his injuries things. And I'm honestly even starting to question if he's a major leaguer. And then you get to the point where you're going to have just some guys that can just eat some innings. Like I said, we just need somebody to keep the dam from freaking imploding, not even leaking at this point. Get somebody to get to Romano and everybody at the end. And if we get anybody else, you've got these decent arms in front of them. I made the equation with Simber being like getting LaTroy Hawkins a few years ago. You know, I think you get enough of those guys that are good. It doesn't have to be the guy that literally gets everybody out. But if you can get me in the innings you pitch, you get me a 3.5 ERA, fine. We just need somebody that can do that, because right now we can't even get a guy that's going to get sub 6 on an ERA with what Trent Thornton and company have been doing lately. Mm-hmm. So it's hedging the bet in the right direction, right? And in all reality, we didn't give the whole farm up or anything like that. And sadly, I think the guy that they got in the minor league system here is actually the real piece of the trade. I think he's got something to the tank. He's not going to be anything crazy or anything, but it's another arm in that equation going forward here in the next 2 years that has a ceiling of a 3 or 4 guy. I think realistically he's going to be a nice 5 guy in a major league rotation at some point. Yeah. He's got some good pitches, and in the midst of that he threw a 5-inning one hitter shutout the other night or something like that I was reading. So, and the media around the Milwaukee Brewers is wondering when he was going to get a shot. So he's not too far down the pipe. Maybe he is a guy that fits into this bullpen with this state of crap that we've been pushing out lately.
Yeah. Chris?
Rowdy is going to be one of those guys that comes back. I don't necessarily think to haunt us, because the guy in front of him blocking him is a generational talent. Blind, so he just wasn't going to play here. And with the abundance of outfielders we have and the abundance of infielders we have coming in Groshans, Martin, and whoever else, Martinez, Moreno, whoever's coming up eventually, there's always going to be a logjam in that DH spot for him. And to be honest, I like the rotating DH. It gives the guys a break. It gives the guys, like right now in the position where Springer is coming off his injury, and you can give him that extra day where you still want his bat in the lineup, because that makes that lineup really scary, but you get him a day out of center field, which I think is hugely valuable, especially as he gets older, and chances are he's probably going to move to a corner outfield position anyway, but that's down the road. Back to Rowdy. Rowdy's going to be a guy. He's going to hit probably 25 to 35 home runs in a year with consistent at-bats and when he really figures it out. But I don't think he's ever going to hit like over 230 either. Mm. He's going to be kind of around a 230. And I don't think we need that as a team. Yeah. We really don't.
I always was comparing his ceiling to Carlos Peña.
Yeah.
Blue Jays fans knowing him on the Rays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's a great guy. Like, he's a beast of a human. Like, he is a massive, massive dude, and he can hit the ball harder than damn near anybody on the planet. But we have enough of those guys. But we have enough of those guys that are better than him. So, and to be honest, I don't think whatever Blue Jays staff were preaching to him was working as well. I think he needed a fresh voice in his ear, probably. New change of scenery is going to do wonders for that guy. And, like, I wish him the best. And I think that, as well, like most of Blue Jays Nation, especially on Twitter, they were calling for this. Like, everybody was trying to figure out how we were going to trade Rowdy Tellez for Kyle Hendricks, Javi Baez, and Chris Paint in the winter. So,
and how
that was going to happen with Lindor. And, like, Rowdy was going to 4 or 5 different teams this winter. But
Although right now we might be able to trade him for Lindor.
Now, on the other side of it, Trevor Richards, he's better than Thornton.
Yeah.
So he's better than Beasley. He's better than honestly, I'll throw it out there right now. I don't know who's in our bullpen from night to night. It's like, I know Romano's down there. I'm pretty sure Mesa's going to be down there. Is Dolis back? Is he not? Do you trust them?
Proper would be the catcher.
And like, who else is down there? So you get a guy that comes in that throws a crap load of strikeouts and can give you three outs in a night. Now it's going to be better than who we have back there. So you give up a guy like Rowdy for a good controllable relief pitcher and a triple A starter that's on the fringe, who might be a bullpen piece as well, as Craig just said. Good for them. Like,
yeah.
A second.
I honestly think this is one of those very rare trades that nobody really will win, because I think everything is going to even out over the time frame. You know what I mean?
They're both winners in this.
Yeah.
I've heard
they get what they need. We need bullpen help. Side. They need a first baseman.
Yeah. And it's clear that neither of these guys, with the rotation and like the pitching staff that the Brewers have, like these guys weren't going to get a crack to move any further.
Yeah.
And they'll be pushed further ahead with the Blue Jays organization. So good for them. Rowdy will get a spot. Good for him. Wish him the best.
Yeah, you know, also, Richards, to me, was... it's weird that the Brewers traded for him and then traded him away, which sort of raises red flags for me just slightly in my, you know, in the recesses of my mind. I'm just like, I don't know. Do they see something? But then again, they didn't have much of a great look at him. The sample size is rather small. They only acquired him in May. But I don't know. I just think that, you know, we've talked about Rowdy Tellez a lot on the show, especially after last season, which he had a pretty good end of season before getting hurt. And I was saying the time to sell Rowdy Tellez is now. Sell high now. And I wasn't expecting anything monumental this past offseason, but given the rumors that we were hearing, or rather the confirmation that we were hearing from Montoyo that Vladdy was going to go to first base, the writing was on the wall. There was not enough room for him. And you look at how this front office operates, you know, with the exception of the catching position and just Vladdy, who is a generational talent, as you mentioned, Chris, and who has held it down rather well at first base, if not exceptionally well.
Unbelievable.
This front office loves versatility. There is not anybody else on this in the infield or the outfield that couldn't play another position if asked. Bo could transition to second if asked. Simeon could go to short if asked. Espinal can play numerous positions in the infield if asked.
Your
and
boy,
I'm sure
Biggio,
he will be.
Everywhere.
Biggio can play everywhere. Graychuk doesn't
saying
have
that
to
he's
be... going to
be the best catcher we have in this organization anytime
Could
soon.
Could be. Graychuk doesn't have to be just generated to center field, right? He can play multiple outfield positions. Maybe Teoscar, you could argue, is better suited just for right field, and maybe he's not the best in terms of versatility. But if in a pinch, I mean, he's played left, he could play over there. Whereas Rowdy...
played center, too.
Yeah, Rowdy... what's he doing?
I think center's what actually made him a good outfielder. He got used to having the ball hit straight at him without the left or the right slice, you know? Mm-hmm. And he all of a sudden has made himself a good outfielder, because we all knew he could get to the ball. That wasn't the problem. Yeah. It just seemed like when he got there, he didn't have the footing right and everything else to actually catch the ball.
Yeah, he's kind of like Jose.
Now he's figured it out.
Yeah, he's a little bit better now, but
I really want to see somebody in Blue Jays fandom compare that freaking stat line right there. Offensive, defensive, Teoscar and Jose, the upswing of Jose Bautista to where Teoscar has been over the last 2 years, because I ironically think it's going to be very similar.
It should be. I don't see Teoscar hitting 50
minus
balls,
a 54 homer season.
I think Teoscar is probably the better overall hitter.
Yeah, because Jose was what? I think his best season was 270-ish batting average.
Yeah. Teoscar,
when you're hitting 50 home runs and 120 RBIs, nobody's paying attention to your batting average. Just saying.
Teoscar's had a Teoscar's quietly had a very good year. Like, very good. Like, he's...
All-star.
Yeah, he's an all-star, but, like, when you look at the Blue Jays lineup, you don't think Teoscar Hernandez, all-star, hitting 300 or just under 300. But, like, you don't think that because there's Semien, who's been unreal. You have Bo Vladdy, Springer hitting in front of him now. Like, how unreal is that? George Springer hitting cleanup right now, protected by four all-stars.
That's where you got to put him, though, right now.
And
it's
you
insane.
Could argue that Grichuk should be there, too. You could make an argument. Mm-hmm. Like, you could have George Springer, $150 man, who came over here, who would probably also be an all-star if he played the entire year.
Just something
really nuts.
Yeah, no. Look, all in all,
there could be eight all-stars on this team right now.
I mean, the outfield minus Lourdes. Obviously, if Springer was healthy, he'd be an all-star.
Plus, you have Bo, Vlad,
Semien. Yeah.
Ray should be there, and Romano shouldn't. But I said last night as well, I am so happy that none of our pitchers went.
Yeah, I agree.
They need this break so bad.
Even if they were going, I was hoping that they would opt out or be like, nope, sorry, let Ohtani pitch more.
Yeah.
I also made the argument that they should give Ryu a phantom IL stint after the start.
Let him miss a start.
It's his worst month of his career in June.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Give him an extra week of rest to build him up for the second half.
Yep. But yeah, well, good stuff either way.
Yeah, when it comes to the bullpen, look, to wrap up on the trade, I'm happy that we got two arms for Rowdy. If you would have just said we got Trevor Richards just for Rowdy, I'd be like, all right, position of need, I get it. And when you throw in a minor leaguer that could be, as you mentioned, Craig, the back of a rotation piece later down the line, that to me is kind of gravy. I'm just like, all right, like, I'm never really worried about a fifth starter until it actually happens. But if he can secure a rotation spot in 2-3 years from now, sure. And then we'll look back on this trade and be like, hey, remember Rowdy Tellez? And probably, even though we're hyping him up and he's probably going to have a decent tenure as a Brewer, probably we're going to say, oh, yeah, I remember him. Like, I don't see this to be something that's going to kick our ass in the end. I don't see us looking and be like, oh, fuck, we should have never traded Rowdy Tellez. I just think this was a necessary thing for the Blue Jays to improve an obvious area of need. So I'm happy with the trade.
How much of that trade was the fact that he was a Ray. Do you think Montoyo had some inside info on knowing what he was, you know, from when his time when he was a Ray and all that kind of stuff? Or do you think it was just something, this is Blue Jays scouting hard at work?
I don't think it has anything to do with Montoyo doing that. I think it's just, if he was a Ray, it's good.
Yeah.
It's a nice point, you know, right?
Montoyo has no insight on anything to do with this team other than being a face for the press conferences, and that's
exactly
it.
Yes.
When he's in front of a camera, he usually says something stupid.
Yep.
Or says something he shouldn't.
To that point, though, worst case scenario, this was two guys that they thought Pete Walker might be able to push in the right direction here. So there is that.
Yeah. Look, I don't discount the potential. And look, if it was something that Montoyo was pushing for, I question whether or not it was a good move. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, there it is.
I don't trust him. All right, let's move on. So Chris, as a resident Canadian, I want to shoot this one to you. The Jays have submitted a proposal to return to Toronto by July 30th, a day after the trade deadline. As far as I know, based on my loose research via Twitter, there is no decision to be expected this week. I don't know the ins and outs of the provincial decisions or the municipalities. I'm not familiar with it. I'm sure there are some things that they have to do in order to, in terms of red tape. I do know there's a Stanley Cup playoff happening, or finals rather, with the Canadians. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's a loophole there. I don't know. But we know for a fact, at least, that there has to be a certain vaccination threshold when it comes to teams in order to for restrictions to be relaxed. We know for a fact that some members of this team are not vaccinated, if not partially vaccinated, whatever. Do you foresee any of this to be an issue? Do you think that there's a realistic shot that the Blue Jays are going to play in Toronto come August at the very latest? Or do you think that this is all just sort of red tape and it's sort of an inevitability at this point? What say you?
The Blue Jays are coming home this year. That's a fact. They're coming home this year. People up here are sick of what's going on. So I'm in Waterloo Region. So is Brendan. We're kind of wrapped up into the same thing. Mm-hmm. And they have us in different stages. So there's stage one, stage two, stage three for the opening of what's going on right now. Like, we can't have indoor dining where we are. If I drive 5 minutes like south of my house, you can, there's different thresholds from what you can do in Waterloo Region in Brant County. And then if I go like 5 minutes the other direction, Oxford County, I can do different things from Waterloo Region as well. Waterloo Region has been hit with the Delta variant pretty hard. Okay. So we're behind everyone right now. Like, Toronto's opened up past what, like, even where I am right now. Having said that, we are progressing, and like, our vaccination rate is very good up here. Canada has probably the best, I think, vaccination rate in the world now, per capita, whatever.
Sure.
I'm not going to pretend that I know anything more than just looking at some charts that people have retweeted and they're like, yay, look at this. It looks good. But the thing that I foresee, and without raising too many red flags and saying the wrong things and getting too many people up in arms, the federal government. Okay. So the federal government is different. Basically, we have the conservative government, we have the liberal government, who is in charge of the federal, and then the conservatives are in charge of the provincial. It's been signed off by John Tory, who is the mayor of Toronto. It's been signed off by Doug Ford, who is the leader of the conservatives in the provincial government. Now we're waiting on federal government, which is Justin Trudeau and the liberals. Justin Trudeau there's been talk of an election probably held in the fall, because they probably feel like they could win a majority right now rather than a minority government. So he's probably going to be fishing for votes, is where I'm getting with this. Now, does he think that he could fish for more votes by letting the team up here and making the Blue Jays look like heroes? They're in a playoff push and everybody's rah-rah, let's have a good time, everything is good. Or does he think that votes can be swung in a way that, no, we're going to stay pat, we're not going to bring them up here, and we're going to stay the course? To me, that's where it's going to come down to. It's not going to really come down much more than that. It's all political game, which sucks for fans of the team, because we've all done our part. We've had our vaccinations. We've done what we're supposed to do. Bring the boys home. Bring them home. You can do some sort of modified quarantine, and I know that that's going to be a problem with the union, and I know that that's going to be problems with Major League Baseball, but like, I can't remember what the hotel is in the Dome anymore. It was the Renaissance for years.
I think it changed hands again.
You can do some kind of modified quarantine with that. The elevators from that hotel go right down to field level. Like, that's not an issue. You can rope off their own elevator to go from one floor. You come out right at the outfield fence. That's not a huge deal. Other than that, they need to come home. There's no reason why they can't, like you said about the Canadians playing in Montreal, they have 3,500 fans in an 18,000 seat arena. The dome holds close to 50,000. We should be able to put, there were days where I've been to the dome and there's like 10,000 people in there and like you have a row to yourself.
Yeah.
In that place. There's no reason.
Oh, you mean days when Roy Halladay wasn't pitching in the Angry Bird era?
Like, there's no reason that you couldn't put 10 or 15,000 people if that's the threshold that you want and everybody feeling safe in that place. There's no reason. There's no reason.
And to so the other point, that is the max capacity right now of the Salem Field, and yeah, they're not filling it.
They're not filling it. Mind you, you can get, like, tickets right behind the plate for like $68 for the series against Texas. I was kind of just playing around with that.
Oh, yeah. And then if like, you wait to the last minute, day of, they've been selling them for $29.
Yeah. Do you want to know what that would cost in Toronto just for a Tuesday against Baltimore? Those would be like $150 to $500
easily.
Easily.
Especially with a comeback tour all of a sudden.
Yeah. And
the Blue Jays are selling out the restricted games. Now they're not restricted, so nobody wants to go.
Yeah, and there's already people selling secondhand tickets on StubHub for July 30th.
Oops.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It's a dirty game, ticket land up here. I don't know what it's like down there, but it's a dirty, dirty mess up here. But anyway, That's where we're at.
Buffalo, they're saying not to buy anything. The Buffalo police are saying don't buy anything from anything but MLB.com or StubHub because they're the only MLB official one. Everything else, they're saying good fucking luck. Good shit.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad here.
Yeah.
They need to come home. It'll be unbelievable for this area. Unbelievable. Yes. We need a hero in this area, and it could be the Blue Jays.
Well, I mean, like this sort of, I don't want to call back to whether or not this team is a playoff team. I just think just having the sort of levity of having them back at all, even if they aren't chasing playoff games at that point, let's just say come mid-August, they're out of it, which isn't that much of an impossibility, but it's on the table. I think people in Toronto or in the surrounding area, the GTA, will be more than happy to have something to do, right? To have somewhere to go and to sort of celebrate watching their team, their only baseball team. Yeah, like have that sort of normality back in their lives. I think it's important. I can't really comment when it comes to the safety of it and what the science is telling the local governments, the provincial government. Like, I am not a scientist, so I don't have that data in front of me, so I can't really make that decision. Mm-hmm. But I'm not denying the fact that this is ultimately a political game. If the vaccination rates are as good as you say they are, and I have no reason to doubt you, I mean, here in the States, we're pretty much it's open season for basically everything, right? So yeah. I don't see a reason why it can't be.
Just for a little context, I'm going to say on average, there's been 25 to 30 cases, maybe 20, we'll go on a broader range. There's been 25 to 35 cases a day in Toronto.
That's crazy good. That's really good.
And they're in step two of the reopening. There's still one more step that is supposed to be announced soon-ish, probably another 2 weeks.
All right.
Which still doesn't open things up 100%. Like, then you're at, like, 50% capacity for things.
Right. Well, hold on. Like,
it's super reserved here. Super reserved.
Let me flip it on its head, and I'll shoot this to you, Craig. Let's just assume that July 30th, is it a home game, you were saying, Chris?
Yep.
Okay, yep. So a home game in Toronto. Let's just say they're going back. They have everything all figured out a couple weeks ahead of time, and they're moving equipment from Buffalo, and the Bisons are getting ready to go back to Buffalo. Everything's looking good. Okay, so they go back to Toronto. Craig, are you concerned, A, with the turf, and B, that the shuffling and now playing in a legitimate major league ballpark, not to say anything bad about Salem, they did an outstanding job, but I'm just saying, offensive production might be, a little dwindling. are you concerned now with moving back? Because some of these players have not played in Toronto. Like, fun fact, Joe Panik never played a game in Toronto, right?
But they were saying that about Semien, and that he's the best player that ever not play in the Toronto.
There you go.
Or something like that the other day.
Yeah, George Springer. He's played games in Toronto, but not as a Blue Jay. So George Springer is a bad example, but we're having breakout players like Bo, like obviously Vladdy. We've seen Teoscar do it, so maybe he can, you know, pick right back up. But, you know, Lourdes, do we have concerns with these players at home, multiple games in a big league ballpark?
Personally, I think it's just going to help them. I really just as much as the Canadian people want to have the Blue Jays back, they want to have a real home. Buffalo, like you said, has been every sense of the word as best as it possibly can be. And I will admit, unless the Yankees or the Red Sox are in town, those are home games for the Toronto Blue Jays. Buffalo has fully integrated the Blue Jay culture into their idea, and the Bills Mafia is all up in arms over it. It's good times. So, but that whole thing, the team wants to get back to their normal too, and they're not really where they're supposed to be, and they know that. It doesn't matter how pretty they make it, what's this, all that. And not to mention, these rumors of even being able to come back and go to Toronto have to be weighing on them a little bit. It's like, oh, okay, why can't we just stay here? Or why can't we just go back really quick? You know, it's what that constant what if. Where are we going to be playing in 3 weeks, right? I think right now is their best chance of being able to actually get back to a normal, get into the swing of everything, go Toronto, and then actually have real Toronto Blue Jays fans at a ball game. And I'm, like I said, no disrespect to Buffalo fans that have adapted this team into their daily lives over the last 2 months and the last year. It's just, I want to see Vladdy hit home runs into the flight deck. I don't care where. And there's nobody on this team that's not going to be able to hit in that ballpark. The only thing that really worries me is, like what you mentioned a minute ago, the turf. If they go back to Toronto, are these injury issues that we've been seeing in a random season when they weren't prepped and ready to play on turf, is that actually going to continue to decline and watch more guys get hurt? It has nothing to do with the politics, the culture stuff, any of that. It's literally just a fear of mine. And we've seen it deteriorate baseball players in the past, and it's not like they've been practicing on it and getting used to it and all that stuff. These errors that we're seeing over the last week that were the reason we kind of got in the hole last night with Bo Bichette playing in Camden Yards. Those first five games that end up being critical win games for the Toronto Blue Jays turn into games that they end up booting the ball around just because they forgot how the ball bounces on turf? Or to the point of what you just said, Marcus Semien hasn't played a game in Toronto as a home player.
Right.
Is he going to have the freshest, spring in his step at second base to be able to field a good ground ball off that? That thing just hits that carpet and does some really weird stuff.
And it goes a long, long way.
But to that point, there is a lot of players in this offense that will help in only continue to grow their game. Watching Bo, Vlad, and Semien hit the ball on the frickin' turf. Come on, they're already knocking how many? Semien's got how many doubles?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those little ones that would die in the grass in Buffalo and roll to an outfielder while they're in stride might actually make it all the way to the wall and be doubles and triples in Toronto versus singles and doubles. So I can see it either way, but in all reality, I want to see him go back, and I really don't care about a lot of that other stuff. I want to hear Blue Jays fans really chanting, and I'm sorry to say, even the Bisons fans, getting the wave integrated and whatnot and in the stands is not quite enough to cut it for me as far as, quote unquote, stupid Blue Jay culture things. And the dome field advantage, I think, will ring true. And it could be the catalyst for the Blue Jays need to get over this last piece, other than, what we're hoping is a pending trade coming eventually.
I'll say this really quick, two really quick things. If the Blue Jays come back mid-August, it's going to be like a month and a half of opening days. For the fans, that's really what it's going to look like. And like opening day, Adam, I don't know, or either of you guys, I don't know if you've ever been to Toronto on opening day.
No,
I stopped going to opening days because I became an old man and I couldn't handle it. Because it was becoming like a university drunk show is what mostly happened. And I didn't care about spending $400 on 100 level tickets. I wanted to sit up in the nosebleeds because that's that's where the real fans sit anyway. But
that's why you were all the frat kids and the university kids. Which,
you know, when I was 20, it was fine. But now a little bit older and I have kids my own, not so fun. Yeah. I'll sit at home and I'll drink a case of beer and a whole bunch of burgers and hot dogs at home and spend a quarter of the money and everything will be fine. The second part.
Just never Looney Dogged it.
Yeah. The turf, what's made of the turf, in my experience, is ludicrous. I have a really screwed up left knee, like really screwed up. I can play. I've played softball. I played fastball. I played whatever. I can play softball tournaments, and my knee is screwed for 2 or 3 days after a weekend beer league tournament. I can't deal with it. We played a 24-hour tournament. 24-hour, it went like a 72-hour tournament. It was from Friday to Sunday night. You could play. They used to have this at the Dome every winter where you could play at like 2 in the afternoon, 7 at night, 2 in the morning. Like it just kept going. My knee didn't hurt after playing at the Dome. Not nearly what it normally would on grass and dirt and whatever.
So you're the inverse Brett Laurie.
It was, mind you, tons of topspin off that turf, like crazy amounts, and the ball just goes. But my knee didn't hurt nearly as bad as what it normally would. So I think that there's anything to it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to say about this high performance department, but that maybe we can have that conversation another.
That's true. But like, you know, and you make a good point because those that have complained about the turf, Brett Laurie, Jose Reyes, Josh Donaldson, have been exiled from the team in one way. They've all been traded away, right? So you could say it was a matter of sour grapes. It could have been just like a poor transition.
Big contract, I gotta blame something.
Yeah, maybe it's a whole lot of nothing. And you're right, we do make a big deal. We as Blue Jays fans, or those that you know speak outside of the organization, do make a big deal of the turf because it is sort of like unnatural. It's very unnatural when it comes to playing on a baseball field, right? You want to see that natural grass, but at the same time, maybe it's not as big of a deal as maybe I'm making it out to be. These are just like sort of
90s Sky Dome turf. Like that was just like, oh yeah,
that's carpet.
That was carpet rolled out on concrete. Like that was bad. But like what I felt when I played there 6 years ago, which I'm sure the turf has changed since then, it was fine. Like it was harder than regular grass. But
was there dirt there at that time?
No, it was the year they transitioned to dirt.
There you go. Okay.
It was the year they transitioned to that. And that was why, because we actually ended up winning that tournament. We got a whack load of cool things from the team and it was a pretty good time. But, that was why, cause we won the last one that was played there because then the dirt came in after that. Because we were looking to go back, and they didn't do it.
Yeah. Good fun.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move on. I want to talk about Danny Jansen. We brought him up briefly, and now let's dive right in. Look, he's been activated off the IL, while Riley Adams has been optioned. Now, there's no surprise there when it comes to the latter movement. Adams, I don't think any of us thought that he was going to be on this team for the rest of the season. I thought it was
hoping. For
me. Yeah, I think
but I didn't want to see him on the team this year.
No, not for the remainder of the year, unless it was like a Kirk-like breakout. But look, with Reese's surge right now that he's on, coupled with Montoya's remarks of Kirk being 100%, but just getting reps in AAA, Craig, I'm going to toss it to you. Is this the final, last put-up-or-shut-up session when it comes to Danny Jansen? Or is this team going to continuously shell out chance after chance at the expense of Alejandro Kirk getting big league reps right now?
I think right now this is literally the waiting game because they have an opportunity to transfer Kirk to the 60-day DL like they did. he's got his rehab time. They can get to the All-Star break without having to, you know, break any cardinal law, right? So this is an extended chance for Danny Jansen to get in here, show if there's anything to it. Or, worst-case scenario, to showcase, hopefully, that he's healthy, and we can maybe possibly move one of our catchers. Right now, I still am not sold on Reese McGuire, and sadly, I actually picked to click him last week, and I buried him. He sucked the last week. So, I apparently ended the hit streak for him. But if you ask me right now, flat out, who is the best catcher out of those three, it's still Alejandro Kirk. Because I feel like he's still in the ballpark right now, that he's defensively equivalent, and his bat will play. The other two, I'll give you a wild card if they're actually going to hit. They both can play defense. It's about where I'm at with it. Right now, though, I'll give you something. Maybe there is something to the Danny Jansen, Hyunjin Ryu thing, because right now they're up 3-0, and he's into the third inning without barely giving up a hit yet. Then again, it's the Orioles.
Yeah.
So, right now, like I said, I think this is going to happen right now to give Danny Jansen that last piece before, and then after the All-Star break here in the next week, we're going to have this whole wonderful conversation all over again on who actually is going to be catching for Toronto Blue Jays baseball for the rest of the season.
Yeah, look, maybe this is bold, but I don't necessarily disagree that Alejandro Kirk, you know, assuming health with all of them, assuming all of them at their best, is probably the best on both sides of the diamond, the best catcher the Blue Jays have right now. I don't think it's outrageous today to say that Reese McGuire is better with this team than Danny Jansen simply because of the left-handed bat.
There is that, the fact that he has shown there's something actually to the bat. Might not be a lot. I even when he was hitting, I was like, okay, great. You single, no extra base hits. So, but
he wasn't hurting you. He wasn't hurting you at the plate. He wasn't a liability there. He
gets you back to the top of the order.
Yes.
How many times have I heard Pat Tabler say that over the last month? I'm ready to shoot myself.
Right. I'm not saying that this is going to last. I don't have faith that it will. I do think that Reese, it's only a matter of time before he ultimately cools down. And as you mentioned, he's probably already started. But I'm not sure that I'm willing to trust Danny Jansen with a predominant role as catcher of this club. And I also think that Danny Jansen has, you know, outside of Kirk, if we're just looking at Danny Jansen and Reese McGuire, if you're going to trade one of them, teams are probably clamoring for a Danny Jansen, not a Reese McGuire. I don't think Reese McGuire has any trade capital at all to liquidate at all. I mean, he could have been picked up by anybody, and he wasn't
months ago.
Yeah. I think MLB teams are well disciplined enough to know that, like, they're not going to just buy a short hot streak from a catcher that could have been picked up by any team months ago, right? And I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but I just don't see a future for Danny Jansen on this team that's going to push the Blue Jays into contention. I just don't see him as an integral piece of this team for their success. I don't know if you agree or disagree with that, Chris.
I'll start because Wes would kill me if I didn't bring this up, because he was the most proud I've ever heard of him coming up with something with this. His bold prediction was that Alejandro Kirk will not be a Blue Jay after the All-Star.
Ooh. The sad thing is there's some of that rumbling already on Twitter.
Sit on that for a second.
Oof.
So who catches then?
Reese McGuire and Danny Jansen. which is terrifying until Mourinho is good to go in 6 weeks.
Right now, I'd rather have a chance of freaking taking Gabriel Mourinho over the two of those if I'm taking Kirk out of the offensive.
I agree.
And he just had surgery 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The problem that I see going forward with this team is you have five catchers on the 40-man roster, and you need a lot of help going into this trade deadline. So something's got to give. And Reese McGuire, as well as he's done in these couple of weeks, has zero trade value. Zero.
Yeah.
You might as well. You still might as well DFA him. Now, the thing with that is, if you DFA Reese McGuire, somebody's probably going to pick him up now.
Yes.
But are you going to trade him for anything worth more than a high A ball player that
on his own?
Probably not, right?
You're not getting anything on his own.
I don't even, the only reason you're throwing in Reese McGuire to any trade at all is to free up an extra spot for another. And that's the only reason you're trading him at this point. Danny Jansen also has zero trade value. Riley Adams also has zero trade value. Maybe a little bit more than the other guys. Maybe.
Based on upside, though.
Yeah.
Based on upside. So your two options right now that somebody has to go is Gabby Moreno or Alejandro Kirk. Take your pick.
Valid point.
Yeah, dude, look, I've been on...
That's not saying that Kirk or Jansen or McGuire deserve a spot. Not even a little bit. Yeah. Because McGuire in the last couple of weeks, yes, I think he deserves a spot with this team as it's constructed because there's no other options other than Kirk. But you're in the spot that somebody has to go.
Yeah.
The only player, and look, I know a lot of people love Kirk. I get it. The only player in, like, that's, you know, considered a prospect within the system, and I don't even know if you can really consider Kirk a prospect still at this point because he's made the roster. The only person that I do not want traded for something that's going to significantly help this team is Austin Martin. Otherwise, take your pick. Take your pick. I really don't care. Like, if Alejandro Kirk is being floated out there in trade talk for something that can significantly help this team when it jumps to the bullpen, like a legitimate closer or a number, you're not going to get a number three starter for just Alejandro Kirk. But if he has to be thrown in with a couple of prospects in order to sweeten the deal, I do it. The only player I do not want to see go anywhere is Austin Martin. That's it.
Yeah. So on that note, are you trading Nate Pearson if you can get something right now?
Yep. 100%.
I thought you were. I thought you were on my chip.
He is made of glass, dude. I am all set. I lost all faith.
I would trade Martin.
You would trade Martin over Pearson?
No, if you were able to get the piece you want or the pieces, like a controllable starter, like if there is a world where there is a package where Austin Martin, Alejandro Kirk, and Groshans is going somewhere, and you build a package around that, but you're getting godlike, they don't have to be godlike.
Oh, like, I know, I'm just being funny.
They don't have to be godlike at all, because like, what is Jordan Groshans? What is he?
He's a prospect.
He's a prospect. Okay, well, that means nothing. Is Austin Martin
right now? What he is? Jordan Groshans is a star 96 player on my MLB The Show Dynasty mode. That's the saying.
But what I'm getting at is these guys are only prospects that are replaceable. Everybody's replaceable. But yes, if you're going to get a frontline starting pitcher and you're going to get a third baseman, or even at this point, somebody that can play third or second, that's controllable because Marcus Semien is not coming back next year. Is not. That money should be allocated to Robbie.
His fans don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that money should be allocated to Robbie Ray and another starting pitcher.
Agreed.
If you can lock down a starting pitcher, controllable starting pitcher, and a controllable good infielder / star infielder, you can trade those guys.
Yeah, I don't see a scenario in which you'd have to give up Martin for that. I think you can do it without him.
Yeah,
but I'm not disregarding that he could be a piece that goes.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody untouchable.
He's not untouchable, but it's unlikely. Is kind of what you're saying.
There's nobody on this team other than Springer, Guerrero,
Bo. That's it. We're talking positional players. That's it.
Yeah, positional players, and like if you want to get into the pitching, like Romano and Manoa and Ray. And Ryu is just not going to get moved because of his contract.
Correct. And not to mention, we hope he's going to be as good as he's been. So that's
the thing, right? And if he isn't, And if he isn't, you have to deal with that in the offseason.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about that even to that extent, Chris, that in a normal – he's been an ace for us, but that doesn't mean on most rotations in this Major League Baseball establishment that he would be an ace on a lot of these teams.
Right.
No, exactly.
You know, and you make a good point. Even if and when the Blue Jays don't get Semien back, which I agree with you, I don't foresee that happening. It's not like they don't have a replacement in Kevin Biggio who could slide right back in at second base, which I think he's best suited to play if we're going to play him every day.
Correct. And then even to that point, that's also a position that Austin Martin played. That's also a position that Jordan Groshans played. Santiago Espinal has been looking pretty damn good, just saying.
He's our best third baseman, period. I don't care what anybody says.
We're just going to name that next week's show when I host. Santiago as the best third baseman.
He's the best third baseman on this team right now. That's not. I don't even think that's arguable. And defensively, he's the best third baseman on this team.
Yeah.
Period. I just think that, you know, rounding it up, Jansen to me is the most expendable player, and I think he's going to be, you know, of the three, Kirk, Reese McGuire, and Jansen, I think the one that you can do without the most is Jansen. It would really baffle me if I heard me say this in the beginning of the season, but, you know, given the fact that Reese tends to balance out the batting order quite well, just being a left-handed bat. He's at least reliable defensively. I don't think I've ever had an issue with him when it comes to defense. It's just the offense is hit or miss. But if you have Kirk to sort of mitigate that and he can catch three out of the two in the rotation, Jansen needs to put it up right now. And I just haven't seen enough. I haven't seen enough that he can prove it. And I'm surprised he's lasted this long because the roster spot is just not justifiable to me. But
to that point, though, I think he still has minor league options. So right now it is literally like you said, he's eating a 40-man roster spot along with those other guys that we have already kind of, you know, mulled around in the fact that obviously they needed to keep Moreno. You know, he's got to be on the 40-man roster for a Rule 5.
I'm so confused at why he caught Ray on Sunday. He hasn't caught him all year.
Yeah. He did pretty good with him.
Like, I'm still confused. There were some pitch selections. I didn't watch the whole game, granted, and didn't watch it that closely because I was out in the backyard doing some things and kind of just coming back and forth. There were some pitch selections that I was just kind of shaking my head at, and I can't think of the exact inning and sequence pitch it was. But there were some that I was just like, Robbie Ray wouldn't do that normally, but
that can be a welcome change though sometimes too. That's basically Andrew Rios' whole game right there in a nutshell.
That's what
being
I'm saying.
Smarter than the guy it's hitting. So
but anyway, Ryu is even close. They're two completely different pitchers.
Right.
I agree.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk more about the rotation here because Thomas Hatch was activated off the IL and had an outing with the Bisons on Tuesday night. Tossed five innings, allowing one hit, no runs or earned runs, three walks, and six Ks. Chris, let's toss it to you. Assuming that he progresses well, who in this rotation right now is in trouble? Or because of how relatively well this rotation has been, is Hatch in line for a bullpen role simply due to lack of space? Look, I know in spring training, he was the talk of the town, right? The hype was real when it came to Thomas Hatch. But, you know, we talked about Ryu. He's not going anywhere out of his rotation spot. Ray's not moving. Stripling has, I think, earned it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Manoah's not moving. The only person you can really think of right now, at least I can, is Matt's. And wouldn't necessarily hate it, but knowing this team, they might give him a little bit of wiggle room. What say ye? What do you think they're going to do with Hatch?
They're 100% going to give him wiggle room, but if I was Steven Matz, I'd be crapping my pants now because you are walking a very, very thin line with every single pitch that you throw. Now, having said that, I don't think he should be terribly concerned about Thomas Hatch. Thomas Hatch should be probably going into the bullpen. The reason behind that is, what is Thomas Hatch? We know him in kind of a spot start bullpen role that through let me just pull it up really fast because I do have it up.
10 innings.
No, he threw 26 innings last year total, which starts in bullpen, whatever. 2.73 ERA, which is great. 1.61 ERA plus, 1.1 whip, with a decent K per nine, I guess, 7.9. I think Steven Matz should be more worried about who they're trying to bring in from outside the organization. I don't think that they need to be concerned about Steven Matz or about
internal options.
Yeah.
I don't think he should be worried about him unless they're going to move Matz to the bullpen, which I don't see that happening ever. No. I don't think he should be worried about Hatch at all. Hatch is better suited for the bullpen, and that's where I think we need him right now.
So why is he being stretched?
He needs to be another guy to eat up innings.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. That the whole thing with Hatch hasn't made sense to me. Same with Pearson. I don't know. The whole notion of stretching Pearson, like when he got hurt in spring training or whatever and then came back, like the whole idea with Pearson being stretched out was just, it was silly to me. You turn him into the 2015 Aaron Sanchez.
At that point,
and you make him throw 110 miles an hour out of the back end of the bullpen and let him throw 50 to 75 innings this year and be extremely happy with that. And now you've lost him for another year, and he's a huge question mark.
Very big. So I think he's – honestly, guys, until tonight, I really thought that Thomas Hatch was going to take Trent Thornton's spot, period.
I didn't have any question in it.
I really didn't have any question of it. I figured that was literally the only thing that was going to happen. I figured regardless of how Thornton's been pitching, until they had somebody to be able to eat up those innings like that, they were just going to leave him, you know, sitting in the bullpen and let Anthony Kay maybe start taking over some of those innings that, you know, Thornton's been pitching. But in that equation right now, I think Hatch is going to steal one of those roster spots from Castro or Saucedo, who actually I've enjoyed watching pitch. I think there's something to Taylor Saucedo, and I enjoyed watching him as a Lansing Lugnut from the seats. There's some pieces there, but like I said, are they helping this team win a playoff spot this year? No, I don't think so. But I think having Thomas Hatch in that bullpen with Kay to be able to eat up these innings for when the frickin' starting rotation does have that hiccup day or a couple hiccup days in a row, you got two guys that can go out there and throw two or three innings and really eat up some stuff. And hopefully there's more coming. But right now, as this team is constructed, I think Hatch helps this bullpen more than he helps this starting rotation.
I'm just throwing this out there. I don't necessarily agree with it. Just throwing it out there. Is a 6-man rotation completely off the table?
Yes.
Okay.
For me, with Ryu getting that better extra day start after rest, I would be curious, but I think it requires somebody other than Thomas Hatch.
Okay.
I think that's
if you bring somebody good in a trade.
Yeah.
That's the reason Steven Matz becomes the sixth guy. Right now.
Yeah, and he's not starting then.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. You're sprinkling in to give a...
Because if you bring in anybody worth...
day and so on and so forth.
If you're bringing in anyone worth their weight and is going to make an impact, you want him there every fifth day. You're not going to screw around with 6 days because then that probably gives you 3, maybe 4 less starts out of them, and chances are they're probably going to be a rental. You're going to want to milk every single inning that you can get out of that guy.
True.
Yes.
A la David Price. You're gonna run him out there every fifth day and work him like no other, because you don't care if his arm falls off.
I want to make this point because it was brought up in Blue Jay Twitter the last few days. Right now, if you compare this team based solely on record, this is a 5-game win. 4-5 more wins than we were at this point in 2015. And that was as of the start of yesterday's game. So I guess I'm sorry, it's 4 games now.
Yeah.
But to that point, is this a sell the farm for a rental season when the window in 2015 was closing with the guys you had versus this is opening the window? I don't see the Blue Jays taking those same prospect level guys and investing in a rental. What do you guys think?
No. Because, you know, the games behind matter in relative to 2015, right? There was a window there that the Blue Jays could have chased not just a wild card spot, but a division spot in 2015. As we talked about on the top of the show, I don't see that as reality this year. I don't see that. You're looking for a wild card spot, right? And if you're going
to
go...
And in doing that, you're trading for a guy that's going to help this team for a year or two.
Right.
You know, additional
exactly.
to this year. Okay.
I'm not selling the farm. I'm not selling the farm for a wild card spot. No way. Especially since that was a two-game series or three at best out of three. No, I'm not doing it. I'll do it.
No,
if
it's
still a
one-game.
It's a one-game. There you go. So, yeah, no, absolutely not. Unless it's someone with, like we talked about, a best-case scenario, I know this has been floated on Twitter, but, like, Scherzer comes and you get an extension. Right? If it's just the stars align.
That's apparently the only way he'll come. Yeah,
okay.
That's the only way that he'll okay
take
a trade.
If he gets an extension?
Yep.
Okay, then yeah. If
I'm
it's
doing
something
that.
Like that.
I'm doing
yeah.
that. I said that the last time I was on with you guys that
yes.
Scherzer, you do what you can to get Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
You do what you can to get him.
Yep. And if you're doing that, then yeah, I'll push some prospect capital because chances are it's gonna take a decent amount, probably something to the tune of what we talked about when it comes to, you know, maybe a Martin or whatever. But
to that point, you're a good team, a better team for 2-3 years instead of just now.
Yes. Mm. Yes. At that point, yes. And you're fighting for future divisions. But still, I think this season at that point, if you get that down to the trade deadline, I don't know that you have enough time to make up the ground. I know you have a solid 2 months, but I still think you're chasing a wild card at that point, or rather securing a wild card at that point.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something really dumb?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm the king of basking.
Should I get my helmet?
Would you? Yeah, you should. Would you be willing to sacrifice more or better prospects for Germán Márquez or Scherzer with an extension?
Right now,
I'd rather have Scherzer personally.
Right now, as good as Germán Márquez has been, I still can't jump on that bandwagon. I would be taking the sure thing because I'm sorry to say, even 40-year-old Max Scherzer, I think, is still going to be better than Germán Márquez is going to be in his career.
Scherzer's done it. He's done it.
He's won before.
Yeah.
And you want that killer instinct. Yeah.
And that's
one killer instinct.
The drive.
Yep.
That is having Roy Halladay back on the team with work ethic, period.
Yeah. So it wasn't so stupid then.
No.
It's only moderate.
Yeah.
But you
have to get that extension though.
Yes.
Like you have to
correct.
Get that.
Yes.
Yeah.
In best case scenario, you have Scherzer. I still don't know that Ryu is a number one. Like he's the Blue Jays ace, but next, if this continues, even if it doesn't, I think the wear and tear is legit. Next season, I'm not sure if there's ace material there. Just based on like
the best number two guys in baseball.
That's what I'm saying, right? And if
he's
if
that you know, 1-2 guy, you know. He could be an ace, but he's really here, you know. And you get that solid part to your point.
You get Scherzer as your legitimate ace, a legit ace for years after assuming an extension, and you're able to re-sign Robbie Ray. That's solid 1-2-3. Then you put Manoah at 4. And again, you figure out your 5. Who gives a fuck, really, at that point? It's a 5. But
have you guys noticed how much Alek Manoah has been literally hanging on Hyunjin Ryu in the last few days?
Yeah, dude.
Love it.
He's learning
love
from
it.
The right guy. Just
learn.
Saying, I'm guessing I agree.
You put Scherzer on this team with him?
Boom.
Man, like, that's what I'm saying.
Plus, there's
like,
still
you
something
to out.
Tank in that whole minor league system, too. So
you figure out. Don't we have Stripling for another year, too, after this?
I believe his arbitration is last year. It is this year coming.
Yeah.
So he would sign this year, I think, and then he would.
So
he's
a free agent?
Oh, I think he's a free agent after 2022, yeah.
Okay, so there you go. There's your
Thanks.
5.
Thanks.
There's your 5.
Right. Not forget that your first priority is Robbie Ray, though.
Of course.
Correct.
No, I agree. I 100% agree with you. I'm not going to – well, actually, I think right now your first priority is to get Vladimir Guerrero the extension that he deserves. Then you figure it out, but that should be done.
It's Mike Trout right now, just saying.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's finish this up. We got picks to click. Chris, we already know what your pick is going to be, so we can just pencil that in.
Right in Robbie Ray right now.
What? Yeah, just put it in Robbie. And then we got predictions. We got.
I was almost going to. I thought about it. Yeah, Robbie Ray is going to give us just an absolute light to performance.
All right. Craig, what about you? What's your pick? What was last week? Let's go over.
Okay, so to that point,
yeah.
We were going to carry over Springer for you because you were on the IL last week, unless cool, I didn't recall hearing anybody else. And then Brendan had Teoscar Hernandez. So between Reese McGuire, Springer, and Teoscar, who had the best week?
Springer, two, right? Two home runs in 2 days?
What I was thinking. Teoscar had a typical, you know, Reese McGuire bad, like a $1.25 over the last week.
Teoscar had that really bad error.
So, yeah.
It's got to be
Springer. You are winning with Springer, Mr. Corsair.
Nailed it.
So you didn't even get in there, and you got your right. You took second place.
I'm ghosting it. Just like that. Just like that.
So, to that point, okay, so we got Robbie Ray for Mr.
Ray for sure.
Here, and I'm going to go with Randall Grichuk because he always destroys the frickin' Rays.
There you go. That's a good point. So we're going to be in Tampa. We're going to be in the... for three.
Hang on, is Ray pitching against Yarbrough again?
Probably. That lines
up. Because then I hate my chances, because Yarbrough's going to... and it's going to make Ray look terrible. Everybody's going to forget he was.
Anyway,
everything is to be done except for Friday with McClanahan.
He gave us in a pick. He gave us...
he did. Oh, he yeah. All right. Where is the...
I'll stick with my boy. I'm loyal. I'm
probably
a loyal
pitchers.
You're just going to make sure you put your big boy tight pants on and you're going to be all set this week?
Well, I'll show you the tightest pants, my friend.
So Manoah is going tomorrow.
Yep.
He's going to dominate Baltimore tomorrow too.
Yeah.
He's going to just chew him up and spit him out.
It's just so wide.
We need 2-1 against Baltimore, and we need 2-1 at least against Tampa in a good spot going into the break.
With the slide Tampa's been on lately, that's not unlikely. It's not like what we've been talking about. Yes, it's still the Rays, but this isn't the same Rays team we played a couple weeks ago even.
Although it's in the drop. Sorry, that's the next talking point. Adam, you make your pick.
I don't want to pick Vladdy because I feel like that's a cheap. I'm going to go Semien. Heading into the All-Star game, he's probably...
Isn't it terrible that we have a cheat code?
Yeah, we do.
You're just matching Nintendo controller with a Konami code right now? Yeah. Or what the hell's
when you're
going
on? When you're in a slump, when in doubt, just pick Vladdy. You'll get out of that slump. Vladdy.
You'll be good.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get hashtag do a Vlad dance going.
Yeah.
Do a Vlad.
So we got, like we've been saying, three at the Trop, and let's pick the All-Star game, guys. Let's just do it, even though it doesn't matter and it's kind of overblown. But three at the Trop. I agree. We need to take 2 out of 3, and I'm resting on that. So I'm going to say 2 out of 3 against Tampa.
I want to see a sweep, but I don't
know. We're sweeping. We're sweeping.
Okay.
I want my broom.
Are you calling for a sweep too, Brennan?
I would like to, but I think you're right with the 2-1. I really
no. We're beating up on Yarbrough.
All right.
We get by him. We get by everybody, I think.
Yep. We're sweeping.
All right. All-Star game in Colorado. It's gonna fly. I hope. I hope just they're dead. I just don't want to see any injuries, especially with was it 4 All-Stars from the Blue Jays because Bo's on the squad now.
Most All-Stars since 93.
I think so.
I recall.
No, there was a
it's
year.
The most Blue Jays starters.
But I don't think the most. No, there was a year where
was
I saw it in a tweet.
16, where they were talking about we had.
Yeah, it was like Cecil. Christine no, it Delabar. Was like Cecil Delabar, Bautista,
Edwin. I think too.
Edwin and somebody else, I think. I want to
say. Was Sanchez on that one?
No, Sanchez and Stroman went together, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think it was 2016, though.
Yeah, that was a nice romance.
Either way, it's been a lot.
9-6 for the AL.
Yeah.
9-6 for the AL.
With Teoscar hitting a bomb.
Oh, there it is. Putting his name on the freaking national scale, right?
I'm going to be taking. It'll be Teoscar that makes a name for himself at the All-Star game.
Okay.
Out of any of the Blue Jays.
Okay. I'll go 10-8 American League, and I think I can see you with Teoscar, but I think Ohtani's just going to steal the show. just the highlight of him pitching and hitting.
I think he's going to flop.
I think he's going to flop in the home run derby. I just want to see
a good I think that for sure.
I think it's going to wreck him for the rest of the game too. So, but anyway, to that point, I think we are going to continue to see nothing but the Vlad show. Vladdy Mania will in All-Star, you know, in Colorado. And I'm actually going to be not as quite ridiculous as you guys are with the scores. I'm thinking a 7-2, and it's going to look like an all of a sudden slog for the American League to run away with that 7.
It's just
going to be kind of close, and then it's going to just go whack, American League.
Yeah, just flies.
The National League's offense, I'm sorry. As much as I love Adam Frazier of the Pittsburgh Pirates, he is a batting average guy all day. He's not going to be like nothing. And they just have so many guys like that on that roster right now for the National League. Good baseball players, great baseball players, but they're like the Fred Lynns compared to the crazy, you know, guys that are in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge gets hurt?
Probably.
We're going to finally find out if, Gerrit Cole and Adrolis Chapman bring the sticky tack with them. Just saying.
Roldis Chapman's a dirty word.
They can't throw the ball across the plate all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And now the Yankees
they'll all just do it, and they're not going to check. They're not going to check.
They're not going to check in that game.
The show.
No. I don't know.
I have zero time or patience for Roldis Chapman, so.
Yeah. All right, so
Crash and burn.
We've reached the end. We are in the middle again of game two of the series against the Orioles. Right now, the Blue Jays are up 6-0. I hope I'm not jinxing anything, but please don't blow this bullpen. But that being said,
it's only the fourth. There's plenty
Richards
of time.
Is here tonight. That's all right.
Thornton bent down. We're good.
We appreciate you guys listening. You guys that are listening on the podcast feed will know the result of this game before we do, I guess. So there you go. That being said,
I want to give a special shout out to the Blue Jays fan nation really quick before you, because they gave out some, we asked on the Twitter feed, first off, show us the last time you were at the Toronto Blue Jays game, actually at the Rogers Center with all the news going on. And we actually had a lot of feedback. Thank you very much, all the Blue Jays fans, for all the wonderful pictures that we got. And surprisingly, a lot from across the pond. Just saying.
Nice. Love seeing the international, participation. But having said that, we appreciate you listening. Brennan, hopefully will be back next week. I know he's trying out for a bullpen role with the Blue Jays, so hopefully that works out for him and he can be on this show. Speaking of,
he's
next
been
week,
drinking since 10 o'clock this morning watching the England soccer
watching
game.
England, yeah. So next week we're gonna go on Thursday. It's an off day for the Jays and actually all of baseball. So on Thursday, July 15th, that's when we'll be recording, coming live. And the same thing with the following week, July 22nd, again, off day for the Blue Jays. So if you need some Blue Jays in your life, you can come join us and hang out with us and interact with us anytime on the Twitter sphere, on the YouTube sphere, Facebook sphere, anywhere you get your video feed from live, we are there. And if you want to listen to us on your podcatchers, you can. All your favorite podcatchers, we are there. Please hit subscribe. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please give us 5-star and a quick review. Helps us out a lot. But that being said, let's end this like we always do. 2 claps, Ric Flair, and a Let's Go Blue Jays.
Woo! Let's go Blue Jays. All-star break.
Woo! Don't blow this, Blue Jays.